Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Sandra Bernhard? Wait.
I think it's Sandra Bullock.
Whatever.
Did you smoke pot?
No, I just got out of band practice. I mean, I smoked pot before that, but not on the way here.
Yeah, we haven't smoked Chris Porter.
Wait,
who's our guest here on the About Last Night
podcast. Oh, we're going.
Yeah, sometimes we start organic.
Sometimes
Usually we start with Brad's little, and that's no pun intended, little voice, but his little voice, because it starts off small. Is what I'm, again, not what I'm trying to.
No, not that.
But his little, a little intro. It's like very.
We'd like to do for you today a special show.
No, that's
now
not
how bad
intro.
When you hear Brad actually talk like that? Does part of you go, I wish he actually sounded like that? And no. Then you kind of feel let down. No,
I would be like, I don't want to hang out with that dude.
Voice is scared.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd be afraid I'd go into some Children of the Corn reference and like, la la la, la la la.
Or like if I play the wrong Zeppelin song, like your head would start turning around on its axis.
The Dark Lord has summoned me.
Son of a bitch.
A thousand years of darkness will be upon you.
My grandpa told me this was going to happen.
It's like grandpa's dying wish was, and never play Zeppelin for a midget.
Yeah.
He's out.
You know my grandpa. He had weird demands.
The last time I saw Chris Porter.
Who is our guest. Yes. And, Chris Porter. I'm just going to do a little
cheesy
applause.
Chris, and this is no joke, because we haven't said this to every person that's come on the podcast. You are for sure, and there's a lot of people that I like in my top five favorite comics.
Oh, well, thanks, man.
For sure. Yeah. And probably higher if I sat down to really look at it, because Sandra Bernhard's one of them. And she is. And,
Sandra
Bernhard. Hey, man, you're.
And I mean, and it's tough for him to put you ahead of Sandra Bernhard since he just did a movie with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, but no joke, dude. And also, what's awesome is that, like, I think I really started to see you after last comic.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know each other at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I've gotten to be friends with you and see you around and see you just, like, get even better, it's kind of mind-blowing but also really inspiring because, you're friends with the dude and you feel like, you know, it's just cool to have a little bit more rapport to something you really like makes it awesome. And then to see, you know, you just out on the road and grinding all the clubs and to already know how I thought of your comedy and to see it, like, grow, it's bananas, man. And it's inspiring because you just know how much – work is required for this art form and how good you want to be and what's... Well, we just take your pants off already because...
Well, I appreciate it.
He's trying to do this.
I'm babbling, but yeah.
He's been practicing on the Grindr app on how to pick up dudes.
Fuck you, midget.
But now he's just trying to play the field. He's putting his skills out there.
But, all right, anyway.
Well, of all the people that have gotten wasted and passed out on my bathroom floor, you're number one, Adam.
I'll take that as my credit.
I don't know. Wait, I haven't heard this story.
Skylar Stone had a big event at a bar within walking distance of my apartment.
God bless you, Skylar. Like, and you know what? He advertised the fuck out of it.
And it was free tequila.
Oh, wow.
And we all...
It was packed as fuck, because that's how he does it. He's like, he wants the guest list beyond capacity, so people were turned away, and then you're like, why the fuck?
I love Skylar's
What was in there?
Yeah.
So
we got hamburgers on the way back.
Yeah, it's me, Adam Ray, KT Tatara, Holly Bjorgford.
And Ben Glebe.
I think Ben get hammered, stopped by a Juicy Burger.
That's a literal who of comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, how many listeners were just like, all right, get out Google.
So we all go to my place, wasted, start smoking weed. Adam goes in the bathroom, passes out. We're like, cool.
Well, dude, I feel like I do a pretty good job of balancing pot and booze, but sometimes
we went nuts.
Yeah, we did. And then and you had great pot too, man. And I feel like I'd been one of the, I was in one of those, like, I didn't smoke for 10-day sabbatical moves. And then it was just, I go to the bathroom, I go, I'll be right back. Oh, KT showed up at one point.
Yeah,
I think that's what put me over the edge. Not KT's presence.
See, you did the scream, the scream line. Yeah. You're never supposed to say I'm going to be right back because you're never going to be back.
Yeah, I might as well have been dead in that bathroom.
One of my favorite
moments from that night is having to wake Adam up so that someone else could go in and throw up.
Dude, dude. I remember. I remember being in the bathroom and I was so nauseous, and I was like, dude, don't just walk out, because I've done that before. I've just left places and walked for miles when I'm so fucked up. I'm just like, I don't want to face anybody right now. I'd rather walk into the abyss.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just go to the bathroom, try to like just, you know. And I end up, like, falling, and then, like, and I hear one point where I go, you all right in there? And I remember just being like, dude, whatever you say, it has to sound not fucked up. So I just remember, what did I say?
I'm cool.
Good. So I remember my face touches your bathroom tile. And
porcelain tile.
Oh, and it was, like, the greatest. It was like somebody. It was like a, you know.
I keep it clean.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yo, it felt amazing.
Yeah.
And then I just stayed there for a while, and then when he had to wake me up, and he's like, you get up, Al, he's got a puke. And I remember how my back, like, sorry, man. Like, even he felt bad. He saw how comfortable I was.
and you said Porter's got great pot, but of course you do, because honestly, Chris, the way you look, you have to have good pot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Right now, yeah. Google Chris Porter, and if you don't already know what this handsome man looks like, and if you see his face, you go, oh, yeah, that guy's got good weed.
Yeah. Like, I would disappoint people if I didn't.
Yeah, it's like you and Brewer. Have to have the best weed.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
I might
smoke.
As well wear dreadlocks.
When did you start smoking pot? Because for me, the first hit I took was sophomore year of high school. But when I first started, was college.
I didn't touch pot till I was 19. I was in college at that point. I remember getting shit faced and going over to my buddy's house. It was like they were older. They were like 4 years older.
That's
than
always
us.
Happens, right?
And we knew they had the best weed. And I got dry. I was like, well, if we're going to do it, I'm going to do it now.
Yeah, we're going to do it with the right guys.
And I did. I did it. We were smoking Kind Bud out of bongs. And it took me like 4 or 5 tries to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And
a bong was the first thing?
Well, yeah, the first thing I did.
That's intimidating.
Yeah,
right?
That's skill. That's like, oh, wait, I'm trying to get high while I'm maneuvering my finger.
Yeah, you
doing
don't know
one
how
thing.
Much of the smoke
yeah,
to take
it
up.
Took yeah. way, and it took me like 4 tries to even get a hit. But man, when I did. I just remember running into the bathroom thinking I was going to throw up, coughing a whole bunch, and walking out, like just being so proud that I didn't throw. I was like, I'm cool.
Right.
I'm fine.
And then you're like, hey, you got to do it again now. What?
Yeah. I was like, cool. And then I remembered I was stoned because I had the stoner laugh. Like, I was like, who's that stoner laughing? I was like, that's me. And me and my buddy walked home. All we had to do is walk across the street, and we got lost.
Surprise. Wait, now lost because you saw a big golden arch somewhere and
we
you were
wasted.
Like, follow that?
I mean, beyond my dad, or my buddy was so wasted, he was, every time a car would pass by, he would just freeze.
I've done that before because you're like, what if that car slows down?
Like,
it sees us. It's like the Jurassic Park move.
He's like, if it's a cop, they can't pull you over for standing still.
That's actually great logic.
So I'm surprised you guys didn't try to pull like the Looney Tunes Bugs Bunny move, where like he tiptoes behind the really thin tree and then just kind of disappears. Wow,
and then I remember going home and laying down and thinking I was going to die because my heart was racing. I was like,
now this wasn't an edible though, because that's the only time I feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack is on a pot edible.
No, I was just smoking it, and then you know, it took us a while to figure out. And then, you know, it just progressed over time, and now it's a pretty healthy habit.
Has there been one event that's made you go, I should probably, like, tone? Because now you say you've been smoking consistently since then.
Yeah.
Off and on, right?
There's not one specific moment.
Just people have
all the moments I run out of money, but I have pot.
That's when you go, maybe my priorities are not quite in order. Or maybe they are.
Maybe they are. Then you get high, and you're like, I'm fine.
Because I feel like, because you know, people who have drinking problems say there's always like, you know, that one thing that I stole a plane and I went to Bakersfield and there was no airport, so I just landed in a Dairy Queen. That's why I got fired from there, because I worked at that one. But like for me, it was like, you know, the edible thing is always just taking it, you know, to another level.
Sure.
And I went to Disneyland 2 summers ago with Saratella, by the way, Mark Saratella, who'd never been to Disneyland.
Friend of the podcast, Mark
Saratella.
Yeah,
never been to Disneyland. In his 30s, never been there. We
Super
ate an edible.
Playa.
Yeah. We go there. Space Mountain's the first thing we do, right? Glow in the dark, roller coaster.
Techno music.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I start finding it hysterical. I'm just giggling my ass through the entire roller coaster.
Sure.
Mark is fighting back tears because this is the first thing he's done. He has no idea what Disneyland holds for him other than right now it's terrifying as shit. And so he's fighting. We pull up to the front. We're in the first car. The guy pulls the lever to stop, and he looks over and he just goes, and I'm laughing. Mark's wiping tears away. He goes, what the fuck are you guys on?
and we just neither one of us say anything.
Oh, so at least you hit it well.
Yeah. And oh so, my God. So then later that day, and this is what brings it all full circle. When I was 3 years old, I went with my folks. Right, they were going through some marital problems. They're like, "Let's go on vacation and forget that you know this is awful." And, and so, I'm three, and I got lost. I got lost, and I still remember. I remember, but I went up to Winnie the Pooh, and I was like, you know, just kind of was like, I don't know who my parents are, and I gave enough information for him to fucking be like, all right, I'm going to drop the fourth wall for a minute here and take this kid to the lost and found. I sit there for like 2-3 hours. Eventually, my folks come in. My mom's hysterical. You know, you lose a kid at Disneyland, you just assume that
Captain
Hook is putting
his... Was that the page 75 moment where they got back together and they were like...
We have to do it for the good of the child.
It should have been.
By the way, nothing better than to save a marriage. Let's spend how many hours in a car or a plane or a hotel room just a confined space.
Yeah, you're right.
Where it's like the Thunderdome and you're just like battling it out.
That happened to me with my last girlfriend. She broke up with me and begged me to come back. And not something I normally do, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to Arizona. Come to Arizona with me. Yeah. We'll try to figure it out.
Hell yeah. Sometimes you just got to.
It was the worst.
Oh, God. At what point did you go, big mistake, Porter?
Ontario.
Oh, shit.
So you drove.
Yeah.
Jesus, you got 45 minutes away from the decision point.
She didn't even try to fake it. Like, you know,
dude,
normal,
that's
like
being
girls...
at McDonald's and ordering the Big Mac and then just like 10 minutes later being like, fuck, I should have gotten an apple pie.
I should have gone to Taco Bell. What you think?
I should be seeing other fast food restaurants.
Yeah,
it's not just...
It was, we went and I thought, you know, someone begs you to come back, they're going to hide their crazy for a little bit.
Yeah, it's going to be like you're dating again.
That seems like par for the course.
And
she
went right back in, like just crying all the time. And
oh, she's a big crier.
Well,
she cries every day.
One of those.
But over what? Because like I cry every day, but that's because I watch Forrest Gump on TBS every day.
I cry every day, but that's because of the places I have to work. I mean, granted, last week was awesome, but, you know, there's definitely weeks where you're just going, I should have gone to college.
Right. There are weeks, man.
There are definitely
all our
weeks.
Friends who aren't comics who look at us after shows or whatever or just see what's going on, they go, God, it's so... Hey, don't get me wrong. We all love it. But it's like, there are all those times when you do actually, like, reason with yourself and go, fuck, I could have fucking sat at a desk.
I am not lying to you when I've stood across the counter from a guy at McDonald's just looking at him going, what the fuck do you got to worry about? Like you got it so easy.
You got it so easy.
With $19,000 a year.
Right.
You got no worries.
No worries.
I mean, other than not having cable or a decent car.
or ever getting laid ever again.
Yeah, or health insurance.
But other than that,
there's got to be one guy, though, at McDonald's who is just fucking everybody. Like, there's got to be a pimp at that place. Fucking, like, cleans, like, always goes to clean the ball pits during birthday parties, and girls like, fucking Jose always takes care of the ball pit. And he doesn't get asked to. Like, the guy in the fucking, he just, maybe he's, like, double flipping the burgers while the fucking fry, like, he just, you know.
Oh,
the pimp of McDonald's.
I'm sure there
is,
but the problem is all the girls that work at McDonald's are
60
fucking heinous. Like, I worked there when I was 15, 16. I worked at,
maybe,
like,
that's what he's into.
I worked at, like, the super luxurious McDonald's. Like, we were, like, the third busiest McDonald's.
Is it called, like, McDonald's from Coming to America?
Yeah, right.
Remember that shit?
And we had some of the hotter girls there. And looking back on it, a hot girl in a McDonald's uniform is, like, a 4. Easy on a regular scale. Like, when was the
last?
That's when you know you're in a college town, by the way, is when you pull up to a drive-thru and there's a hot chick there.
You're like, wait, you're hot and you're working?
Yeah,
why?
And you're smart? Like,
college. Oh, right. That whole thing. Some people do the poll. You do McDonald's. Okay.
Yeah. Well, one, and, you know, between those two, I think I'd rather have my daughter serving burgers.
Fuck yeah.
I'll supplement your income. Just don't let dudes come near you.
I think that's the general rule of thought for any woman entering the workplace. Number one, are guys coming near me?
Yeah.
No?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's an option.
We can proceed to step two then.
Okay, I will go ahead and apply at Twin Peaks.
Was that the name of it?
No, Twin Peaks is a, it's like, basically, it's a chain of restaurants.
Oh, yeah, it's like a Hooters, but...
It's a Hooters for guys who like the idea of Hooters but don't like Hooters.
Basically. Wait, what?
It's like guys who want to see girls and boobs but don't want the terrible food or the shits that come with Hooters.
Oh, okay. So it's like Hooters, but good food.
It's
but
good yeah, Hooters.
It's got good food.
It's called
really,
Good Hooters.
Yeah.
And it's really
Good Hooters.
Decent Hooters.
Decent Hooters.
They're playing at the Troubadour on Friday, I think.
Yeah.
Decent Hooters.
Decent Hooters.
You're telling me you wouldn't pay $8 to see them?
I would pay.
Cover every Hootie song? Decent Hooters.
Hootie and the Blowfish cover band called Decent Hooters.
I think we've got something.
I think we've got something. All right, you're seeing Leadon playing guitar.
I can't do Darius.
I'll play the clarinet.
You can't do Darius?
Brad can do the triangle.
Welcome back to you.
Wait, welcome back to you? I think it's only want to be with you.
I don't want to be with you.
Welcome back to you.
With a little love and some tenderness.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome by the water.
I will admit this. I stood in line for tickets and got one front row ticket to Hootie and the Blowfish.
One?
Yeah.
You mean you weren't walking around going, who wants to go to Hootie?
And I was like 16.
Pussy wasn't being thrown at you?
Like, I could afford,
hey man, they were kids.
One ticket.
That was when Cracked Rear View was at its peak.
No one, not, you know, I've always been a big music fan. So like,
well, sure, you're in a band right now, right?
Yeah, going to a concert by myself was not intimidating to me in the least.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I stood front row.
To the Hootie and the Blowfish.
And watched Hootie and the Blowfish.
And can you attest to how great it was?
Man, 16-year-old me thought it was fucking great. Yeah. 34-year-old me is ashamed to even tell the story.
Wait, talk about your music life, and then we'll get into some comedy stuff. And then I got to finish my Disneyland story, because that had a great ending. That had a great ending, but you're here.
Okay.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to step on your story. I mean, my music career is still going to – well, it's not even a career. Basically, music
your passion, your love for music.
Recreational softball league.
Right.
Okay.
Although I'm in one of those also. It's like my other recreations.
So you don't do something unless drinking is involved heavily.
Absolutely.
Is what you're saying.
But then I'm not a big drinker. So it's
really?
That's why I'm annoyed all the time, I feel like.
And that's when the pot kicks in.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm the guy that goes out, like, I sing, and then as soon as we're done with break, as soon as break starts, I go out and get high, and then I don't come.
Done. What do you play in your band?
I play guitar and I sing.
Damn right.
Yeah.
What's the name of the band?
Currently, it's The Boom Noodle.
Yeah. You've got killer pipes, by the way.
But I think
the Boom Noodle.
Boom Noodle.
I love the Boom Noodle. That sounds like a stunt cock in a porn movie. Bring in the Boom Noodle.
Wow.
Like, this bitch has got to get it.
bitch, you want some of this Boom Noodle here?
You better act right, or I'll bring out the Boom Noodle, and then you're gonna have to need some vaginal reconstruction. It's actually a restaurant in Seattle. We walked by it, and I made a joke about naming my penis the Boom Noodle. And the keyboardist was like, we should name the band that.
That's a great idea.
And we did. And the problem is, every time we say we're the Boom, you're the first person when I say the Boom Noodle that hasn't gone, what?
Oh, really?
And so I think we're going to change the name of the band.
Okay.
But
so what?
We're a cover band. So it doesn't matter what we're called. We're the band in the corner of the bar you're drinking at.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What are you covering?
Mainly classic rock.
Oh, okay, you know, so you're not like a tribute band to like one band. You're
No.
You're doing everything.
No one's wearing Angus shorts or anything like that.
No one's coming.
But those bands not with that kill attitude. I see bands like, there's like a female Led Zeppelin tribute band that's traveling the country in a bus making a mint.
Ah, fuck.
Just making a shitload
now,
of money.
Now, does that appeal to you? Doing the road life of comedy. What's that, Brad?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, there's one called Led Zeppelin.
That's a good one.
That's just killing it, too. And, I forget, there's an all-chick AC/DC one that is also doing well.
Hell's Bells.
Hell's Bells.
Yeah.
See, he knows the name of the AC/DC tribute band.
If you are a tribute band, you have to have a play on words on the band, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, what would a Seal tribute band be called?
Walrus.
You do play softball because that was a fucking lob.
Yeah.
And you hit it out of the park. You hit it out of the goddamn park.
There you go.
Now, does the road life of music appeal after doing the road life?
Tour bus life is where I want to get to.
Yeah.
I spent 5 days on a tour bus.
I feel like you'd be a blast on a tour bus.
With somebody, and it was like the most amazing. I mean, it's just driving around in your living room.
Right.
And you got your bed in the back, and everyone's hanging out. They've got every channel on DirecTV.
Yeah. God, yeah. You got your space if you need your space.
Everything's there.
You know,
you got a refrigerator. You just get off, go to the gig. Get back on the bus, go to wherever else. Yeah. What it's just a traveling party.
What is it about? Play video games. And, yeah, right. And then I don't know if you experienced this, but when I was doing the whole tour bus thing, the best pickup line ever is, do you want to see the tour bus?
Oh, yeah.
Because they have to
Which
say
is
yes.
how Brad and I met. And, and you know what? I got to be honest. We're here today, so I have no regrets.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what?
I had to give him a decent hooter, and he showed me his boom noodle, and guess what? A friendship was born.
And now we have the About Last Night podcast.
And an anal cavity was ripped.
Well, hey, thank you, sir.
That's a big compliment. Man.
It was his first time. You know. You're going to rip any anus the first time.
That's Chris Portigat. You know what? I feel like that would be the point of the show where Jay Leno would go, that's all with the time we got. Okay, thanks for being here. Good night, everybody.
No, Jay, stay back. No, we need to talk more about ripped anus.
No, that's all the time we got. To Chris, where are you going to be this week?
I think you just came up with the next band name after Boom Noodle, Ripped Anus.
Yeah, but what tribute band would that? That would be a Kiss tribute band, is what that is.
Or maybe
they're fucking terrible.
Or maybe the Butthole Surfers.
A Butthole Surfers tribute band, Ripped Anus.
Ripped Anus. Mm-hmm. He wiped out.
Wait, no, that was Crash Test Dummies.
It's Crash Test Dummies. That's all right.
Well, what was Butthole Surfers?
Do never apologize for doing the beginning of that song.
Yeah.
Oh.
What was Butthole Surfers song?
It was like a weird. It was like.
Yeah. Like, how much do you love San Diego?
there's like two stoners screaming at the radios right now. You don't know the Butthole Surfers? You don't know the classicness that is the Butthole Surfers?
Yeah, but then they have to turn the radio down because they're pulling up to the house or delivering a pizza to them.
What were your jobs before comedy?
Oh, all the
you
shit.
You grew up in Olathe, Kansas?
Wikipedia is wrong. Woo. It's called Olathe, but I grew up in Shawnee, okay. Which is north of there and not nearly as white trash. It is now. It's super Mexican-y now, but when I lived out there, it was not.
Okay.
My parents, as soon as I graduated high school, got the fuck out of there. And started at 14, I worked at a McDonald's, and I basically worked at a...
You did work at McDonald's.
I did. I worked at McDonald's from 14 to 17.
Right.
And not only that, I was on
3 years.
I was on like an all-star McDonald's squad that we would travel to other McDonald's.
Like the Harlem Globetrotters?
No, it's just like these
like throwing the beef patties behind the back.
But like all these McDonald's would have to like go out on like retreats and shit.
What?
Yeah, the corporate McDonald's, it was very, especially in the early 90s, it was very family oriented.
Oh, it was a different time. The grunge music was starting out.
Yeah. Everyone had pagers.
Right.
Soundgarden.
Traveling McDonald's all-star teams. Wait,
and,
oh my
and
God.
And so, like, we would just, like, one every weekend, they would just be like, you're in this McDonald's this week. And
wow.
I have to go work.
So you've been doing the road since 15.
Yeah.
You started off.
Wait, yeah. Did you like that?
Thank you, Kansas McDonald's.
I mean,
good night.
At the time, when, you know, I was making more money than any of my friends because, you know.
That's awesome. So you like the fact that your parents, like, get a job early, right?
They weren't even like that.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to do it. I was just like, I need to make some money.
Yeah.
I want to do stuff. I want to make whatever. So I did that, and then I quit there and worked at a sandwich shop, and I delivered subs, and they made me work split shifts on
Jimmy John's?
No, it was called Mr. Good Sense.
Mr. Good
And they would make me on Saturday work a split shift from 10 to 2 and then from 6 to 10.
Ugh.
And I got so tired of it that one day from 10 to 2 I worked, and then from 2 to 6 I went and got another job at Best Buy. Came back, they're like, what'd you do on your break? I go, I got another job. I fucking quit.
Dude, that's the best exit
ever.
Oh,
that's great.
And worked at Best Buy and then went to college and worked at another Mr. Good Sense.
Oh,
and then worked as a telemarketer for Sprint.
Holy shit.
Long distance.
Do you still remember the spiel? Ready?
I'll be
Bertha from Florida. Ready?
Oh, okay.
All right. Act this out.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. My name is Chris Porter with Sprint.
Who is this?
Chris Porter with Sprint. And I'm here to ask you a few questions about your long-distance service.
Yeah, so one thing. Larry, Chris Porter from Sprint. Damn, we call back.
Oh. One thing.
Larry.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, sir. My name's Chris Porter. I'm calling with Sprint, and I was just calling.
Yo, how do you know my wife?
We have a calling list, sir, that we buy from one of your good friends.
Okay. And now, what you trying to sell me today?
Well, sir, let me just ask you: when you set your phone up, did you set up a long distance service, or did you just take whatever the local long distance company gave you?
I just took whatever they gave me.
Well, they are fucking raping you, sir. They're fucking. Listen, what they're doing to you is worse than slavery. Okay.
No shit.
I can give you 10 cents a minute.
Have you seen Roots, motherfucker? That was a dangerous movie.
But do you know?
You tell me AT&T is worse than Roots?
Yes. Yes, because Roots was only at 56 cents a minute. AT&T.
Well, you're goddamn right about that, boy. You're goddamn right.
See, you just couldn't. You couldn't not. That was, and there were people listening to you.
So you got honest with people,
You couldn't fucking, like, whatever they would say
you
to you,
bullshit,
you had to, like, roll with it.
That was your first rule of improv. Yes, and you just whatever they say.
Dude, totally.
Because there would always be some kid going, I call a lot of Swedish porn sites, Swedish porn phone numbers. I'm like, well, we've got a great international plan, sir. I get you 15 cents to Sweden. I don't know what you're paying now, but for only $4 a month.
But that probably, I mean, you would get more sales from doing that, right? Or no?
I would drink about 6 liters of Mountain Dew in about 4 hours.
Wow.
And just.
Oh, my God.
And I would wear these fucking suits that were way too big. My dad's friend just gave me a bunch of suits. He weighed like 240 pounds. I was like 120. Or I wear these big ass suits. I look like the first, I look like a Suge Knight model, right? Like they were just way oversized.
Oh my God!
And I would just get wired on caffeine and you don't call. This was
as soon as you hang up, it automated. Yeah.
As soon as you heard a beep, they had already say hello.
Oh my God! And you have a prompt in front of you, right?
But after 2 days, it's so ingrained in your brain. I was just walking around, as far as your tether would take you.
So if you got into a situation with a girl, she's like, Chris, I want to go down on you in the car. You're like, that's great, but let me tell you about these magazines.
Absolutely.
Sports Illustrated is 2 for $6 right now.
Before we get into the oral sex, let me tell you what I can get. You obviously like to use your mouth. Do you call Australia?
Dude, I think you've got. Dude, do you talk about this in your act?
At this point, I'm looking for anything to talk about.
There you go. That's good.
I mean, shit, man. I feel like there's.
Yeah,
you just wrote yourself a bit right there.
Everybody knows that job, and everybody has been on the receiving end of that job.
Sure.
And
but not too many people have been on the sending end.
I don't know any, man.
Right.
Like, so that world, and you have obviously such a sharp perspective and recollection of that experience. I mean, dude, what you just said right there. I mean, like, that's hilarious. Like, that's
I encourage you going
down that path.
Yeah, and the fact that you had to agree with whatever, like, it'd be like, hey, some guy answered like, hey, are you a white guy or a Mexican? Because I don't want no Mexican taking white guys' jobs.
Well, sir, I'm as white as they can.
it's perfect.
Yeah, but then on the opposite end. They'd be like, I only want to speak to an Hispanic gentleman. And I'd just be like, Casa de Fuentes, Dario.
El Sprinto, long distance-o.
And then I'd go back to my, I remember I'd come home and I'd fucking order a $6 large pizza from Domino's.
Great.
I'd go pick it up and I'd eat it. And then wake up the next day and wonder why I was sad all the time.
All right, I want to loop back to Adam's Disneyland story right now.
You've set the bar high. Well, basically, so when I met Winnie the Pooh and I said, hey, I don't want my parents.
What do you mean you set the bar high? You started off the second part of this story of when I met Winnie the Pooh.
Fair enough.
You're winning, motherfucker.
Fair enough.
I've never met him.
And
I met the little one.
Piglet.
I met Piglet.
Yeah.
And he was so racist.
Whoa, wait.
What? Just N-bombs everywhere. I'm like, listen, Piglet.
I'm pretty sure he was saying Tigger.
That's a good one.
That's great.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Should we stop now?
I mean, we should.
Good night, folks.
28 minutes in.
28 minute podcast. All right. Wow. Thank you, guys.
So I find Winnie the Pooh. He takes me to the Lost and Found. Find my parents hours later. So, cut to... 27 years later,
mm-hmm.
I'm at Disneyland
on
a pop brownie. Yeah, with Saratella. We just had fucking traumatized him on Space Mountain. He's walking around being like, I don't know what we're going to do next, but it can't be that.
He just kept saying that. He's like, it can't be that again.
It was too much.
You've never heard a man in his 30s say, it can't be that again at a fucking at a children's, you know, theme park.
Yeah. That and you got to, I mean, you, if you've listened to our podcast for a while, you've heard Mark Saratella's voice. It's very Fire Marshal Billy.
He's like, we can't do that again. Yeah. Everything that we just did cannot happen again.
And so,
put him on It's a Small World and just watch him murder himself.
Oh, dude, yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah, just slowly cutting the wrist.
Oh, he's cutting a long way. He
he's
means
cutting
it.
A long way. And so I'm like I get to that point again where the pod burning makes me feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack. My heart's popping out of my chest.
Yeah,
I'm like I got to a point where I was like I have to tell somebody, and I wasn't with my friends again. We had separated.
All right.
So first of all, I'm having flashbacks to that. No joke. I'm like, oh, I'm by myself again. The same type of feeling of when I was three, but now I'm 30 and I'm fucked up on pot edibles.
See, it's the part where if it was a movie, it'd be flashback and like the grainy black and white footage of like course, the Vietnam.
To the left.
Yeah. You see Chip from Chippendale like searching for his arm on the beach, like Saving Private Ryan.
By the way, I laughed so hard at that the first time I saw it.
That movie?
Saving Private Ryan?
I felt so bad, but it's just my natural defense that when I get uncomfortable and shit, I start laughing.
So the guy's searching for his arm, you're like,
But it is kind of funny.
How's he going to fire the gun?
No, it was more just like, oh, there it is. Like it was his keys.
Totally.
Like, yeah, where's my wallet? Where's my left arm? I got it.
Greetings About Last Night listeners. This momentary pause in the podcast is brought to you by a lack of air conditioning in Adam's fucking apartment. My apartment, not my fucking apartment. I don't have a place where I go to you know, it's usually the apartment. It's just I put fucking in to emphasize that it's my apartment and my roommate Dave's. Say what up, Dave.
What up, Dave?
Smartass. Anyway, it was getting way too hot in here. I had to turn some AC on because Brad was starting to sweat too much. And as we all know, if a midget sweats within 5 feet of your existence, somebody in your family gets chicken pox, and it's incurable. So that's not true, is it? I don't know. Let's get back to the show.
Adam was very disappointed to find out that midgets don't sweat candy.
I know.
He thought that we sweat candy. And you're like, no, really?
Has that ever even... Now, again, anytime Chris, the Brad, and I bring up any sort of, like, you know, false midget stereotype, part of me, because I'm gullible, goes, nah, but actually, is that a thing? Like, also, I've never thought about the impacts of midget sweat. A lot of things midget fill in the blank have I not thought, like, you know, when we were in Mexico together, we joked about him peeing in the pool and how it would cure people's diseases and scabs, like Wolverine. And a part of me, again, laughs like you just did, and a part of me goes... Hold on a second. There might be some actually
I'm pretty
some legitimacy
sure,
to that.
I'm pretty sure if we bottled my sweat, we could probably sell it to some gypsy who'd be like, "Oh yeah, midget sweat is like it's like the horn of a rhinoceros. It makes men more fertile." Like,
Jesus.
I've hung with Brad for a weekend. He's not magical.
Hey, that's BS. Because when we were walking around Seattle together. The Google car drove by.
That is true.
So I'm pretty fucking magical because no one ever sees the Google car. And we actually saw it driving by going, holy, it does exist.
So if you're checking Bellevue, Washington on Google and you look into a P.F. Chang's and you see a midget and a hippie, it's me and Brad.
That's it.
Wait, let me just finish this goddamn fucking Disneyland story.
That's a lot of
cursing.
I'm sorry. Let me finish this Disneyland
you
story.
You sound like a dad about ready to pull over the van. Let me just finish this goddamn
I swear to God, if you don't shut your fucking mouth, there'll be no cheeseburgers for anybody.
Flashback. And all right. So I go to Winnie the Pooh. Again, now I'm 30. I'm freaking out. I need to find a first aid station.
Okay.
No friends. Again, just like I was three, I'm by myself. I turn to the left.
Where's Saratella at this point?
Dude, crying in Never Never Land.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Or Tomorrowland. Never Never Land is where Jackson...
Well, that's a place where you'd cry, too,
yeah.
From what I've heard.
Hey, guys, spaceships are really scary.
Wow, yeah.
There's Saratella.
Just got back from Disneyland. Went to Toontown. Saw my first kid. Saw my first mullet. I saw my first kid with a mullet.
So
that's
a great
really,
joke.
That's really funny if you know Mark Saratella.
Yeah. So people will now Google him. We've named so far. If you're counting at home, that's seven comedians. You don't know who they are. but so I turn to my left. I see Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
I'm 30. Do you not? Sure. Are you not paying attention to the story?
Yeah.
When I was lost when I was three, I find Winnie the Pooh. I'm 30, by myself again, fucked up on pot, and I see Winnie the Pooh, and in my head I go, oh, shit. And again, I went right back to being three.
No way.
I swear to God, man. And I was like, all right. So I go up to the guy, Winnie the Pooh, newsflash, kids, it's not the real thing. And and so I'm like, I go, hey, man. I go, I know you're fucking in that thing. I used to play Wolverine Universal Studios. I know you're not the real thing. I go, I'm fucking freaking out. My heart's about to pop out of my chest. Where's the first aid station? Please point me in the right direction. Yeah. I don't want to have a panic attack in the middle of the park, but I'm fucking freaking out. And I also then have a moment like, for sure there's kids looking at a grown man with a beard running up to
Winnie the Pooh.
Giant gesture.
Right,
the motion of hearts exploding out of bodies and just being like, help me, and screaming.
Winnie the Pooh's touched so many people, children. Look at him.
Parents are like, he's a really big fan.
Yeah.
He loves
so
it.
So he does this, but he stays in character. Doesn't say anything back to me and just does a big with his arms like, I don't know. And I was like, I go, fucking drop the axe. I was like, you gotta stop this shit. I go, do you want me to have a heart attack in the theme park? And it's fucking on your conscience. And I'm just going off on him. And all this is doing is getting me more riled up.
Yeah, sure.
And so then he kind of just like, you know, like walked me over to a little area and like pointed in a direction. Still never said anything, but then just kind of pointed. And I was like, don't walk straight, walk straight. Again, not even like, it's that same type of thing when you're like at a restaurant and you're being really loud and you're not thinking about that you're around other people. I was like not even thinking that there's hundreds of thousands of families and kids watching me go, are you swear to God it's down that way, you fucking bear? Like, you know, you child, you honey, you greedy honey bitch, you know? You sure it's that way? I mean, you know, I didn't say that shit, but aggressive.
That's why they had to cancel that show at Saddle Ranch at Universal Studios, because people would be walking out with their kids and some lame-ass cowboy out there going, I'm getting my dick sucked. And this girl's eating my asshole. You know, the old oral horse shows here. They're just like, oh, kids.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. I fucking remember those gigs.
That was a terrible. I mean, the only reason I did the gig was for the free food.
Yeah.
What gig was this? It was the Saddle Ranch in Universal Studios.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Where they do karaoke. That's why it always turned me off, because I was like, don't fuck with karaoke space.
Yeah, the fear of the comic is the hell gig that whenever they don't know you're coming.
Yeah, that's the worst.
That's the worst gig.
You don't want to surprise people with comedy.
No, you don't want to just be like,
all
right.
So much though, doesn't it?
Well, most of these bar shows when guys are coming up, and it's just like, yeah, you can't perform anywhere else, so you got to just throw a microphone down in the middle of a bar, and they go, all right, the Lakers are about to make the playoffs, but who needs that? Let's go for comedy, everyone.
Do you think you'd learn, like as I get older, that you would see these gigs coming a mile away? But just a couple weeks ago.
I was just going to say, what's your horror story?
I was half drunk, walking down to Big Wang's to get some food. And I walked by Outpost, which is a country bar.
Yep.
Is that Crackle Barrel?
And they're doing Crackle Barrel.
What did I just say?
Cracker Barrel?
Is it Cracker Barrel?
Cracker Barrel.
Crackle Barrel.
Crackle
Barrel. Crackle Barrel was bought by the famous Snap Crackle and Pop fortune.
That's what they call Crackle's Bong.
The Crackle Barrel.
That's a Crackle Barrel.
And Snap and Pop are like, you got to stop smoking weed. Like, fuck you.
And fuck
like,
you, Snap. You're on coke. Everyone knows it. Pop, just shut up.
Shut up. Soda's your real name, you fucking phony.
Yeah.
You changed your name when you got to Hollywood.
There's a whole region of the country that calls you Cola. You know that, right?
Oh, my God. Dude, I just, you know, I want to fucking do a live-action movie of Snap, Crackle, Pop with us three. Holy shit, how great. And it's three fucking degenerate roommates who have
come down from the success of Rice Krispies.
They're just living off the royalties.
Dude, yeah. Dude, they're like the fucking cast of, I don't know, man.
No, Different Strokes.
They did a reality show on E. It was called Kings of Hollywood or something, and it was like all the kids of actual celebrities. These people, like, so it was like Rod Stewart's kid.
Oh yeah,
hanging out with like the founder of whatever .com's kid, and like these rich cunts. It's like, don't do anything ever, and they're trying to make it dramatic. Like, I was debating whether to get a tattoo or not, and I didn't know what to get because I don't want my friends to judge me. Cue dramatic music. Do I get the barbed wire tattoo or the Chinese lettering that says strength?
So I
don't know.
Both. I got barbed wire around the Chinese symbol. I've encapsulated strength with barbed wire. That's how dominant I am.
Do you want a tattoo? Sorry to get all serious on you real quick.
No, yeah. I think if my folks died suddenly or something, I'd do something.
Because you know what, that is you want a constant reminder. Yeah, that's what better.
I might get the Royals logo. I don't know.
Maybe you and Esky Betancourt on your fucking lower back.
He doesn't play for us anymore.
Oh, really?
Did you enjoy
his talents?
With the Brewers. I loved Unesky. Yeah. I thought he was great. I wish we would have held on, but we're killing it right now.
You guys are. I mean, we could talk the whole rest of the podcast about that, but you're a diehard Royals fan.
Diehard. Yeah. It's beautiful, especially after the break. We've only lost 3 games.
All right.
Like, it's...
Go Royals.
It's just, I mean, you and Cleveland are kind of fighting it out.
And Detroit.
Yeah, that's right.
It's wild.
Well, anytime you have a fielder on your team.
you're in.
You're in.
It's a good time.
Wait, who's ripping it up for you?
They're all ripping it up. We won 13-0 tonight.
Dude, how stoked are you? People who don't follow sports, a.k.a. Chris D'Elia, don't know. I just think of my...
It's hard to follow sports when you're balls deep in poon all the time and money.
Wow, all right. Well, somebody just secured an opening at a theater gig for him.
So I don't know what you're talking about with Chris doing that.
I was about to say someone who hates sports but's a great guy. love Chris. And I love that he hates sports so much because I feel like I have no friends that are that passionate about hating it so much.
He has to spend energy to not like sports.
Yeah. But the feeling that you get, man, of being like a fan of something like that, and you put so much just time and emotional support, and to have it then finally turn around, is like, dude, it affects your daily life.
And for the Royals, like, it's like being a fan of the Washington Generals for 20 years. Like, it's been that
That's
terrible.
No joke.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just like, man, the Globetrotters got to lose eventually.
Yeah, it's like the only highlight you guys have from the last 25 years is Bo Jackson doing the wall run.
Yeah.
Not true. Or George Brett coming out of the dugout.
Oh, right. Well, that was
the
70s.
Way years ago.
Yeah, that was the Pine Tar incident.
Or,
that was the 70s.
Or Oral Hershiser getting well, this is...
Oral Hershiser.
Getting Oral Hershisers from wait for it, Kevin Mitchell's Boom Noodle. Which, by the way, is the name of my first comedy album, Kevin Mitchell's Boom Noodle.
Just look out for Steve's Balboni.
or Mike Sweeney Todd, which is where he shaves your ass with his tongue.
I was in Royals Stadium holding a sign that said, "Where's Mike Sweeney?"
Oh, God.
But we
put, diehard of a fan
of course,
you are.
We put Mike S. apostrophe, you know, hyphen weenie at the bottom.
You fucking genius.
All right, well here's a dilemma I'm having that I want to actually ask you guys. I need guys' opinion on this.
Okay.
My girlfriend is an avid fantasy football player.
Okay.
I have a fantasy football league. Do I let her in my league?
Do you watch the league?
Do I watch the league on FX?
Have you seen
a
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
I have too. Sean Connery.
Have you ever been
movie.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Wow. See, look at this.
Did you enjoy a league of their own?
By the way, this is the type of camaraderie and chemistry we need when pitching Snap, Crackle, Pop, the movie to Fox next week. Let's bring it in the room, fellas.
Actually, Snap, Crackle, and Pop, the true Hollywood story.
Snap, Crackle, and Fuck, I think would be it, because then it's like it shows their degeneracy.
Yeah, Pop changed his name to Fuck.
He's a porn star. Yeah.
Wow. I don't want to air this podcast for fear of losing
Snap's
this
trying
idea.
To become a rap star
Dude,
called Snap.
Yeah. Hilarious. Dude, and what is Crackle?
Well,
Crackle's just heroined out of his
delivering
face.
Pizza?
I'll be Crackle. I'll just be aged out.
Delivering pizza, maybe?
I just want to play guitar and sell my stuff for more heroin.
He's got a band. He's Dude, that's hilarious.
Because the fear is that you let your girl into the league and, A, she beats you.
Yep.
Or... B, the worst case scenario, you break up during the season.
Oh, and she has to stick around.
Yeah, and she's sticking around because I play a money league. and you want that bitch is $50.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's fantasy, so it's not like you guys get together other than the draft and maybe the end, right?
Right, right, right.
So then that's kind of, that doesn't matter.
Okay.
That's all online shit. You yeah. just talk shit like, you're a whore, and I fucking kicked your ass. Whore. Right? Just give her a whore sandwich. Yeah.
Just start the insult with whore.
And end it with whore.
End it with whore.
Yeah.
Whatever you put in the middle, that's okay.
That might be why I'm still single, but...
Fuck that. Fuck that.
Yeah, so... But at the same time, I'm just kind of nervous because you never want to lose to your girlfriend in anything sport-related.
Actually, I don't mind that because it's like.
Does that like prove your girl's like an awesome
well,
chick?
First it's off,
like
no
she beat
girl,
me.
I mean,
do you want a girl that knows sports? Is that important?
I wouldn't mind a girl that doesn't mind sports. Like, mom doesn't know sports, but she'll watch it and get really into it.
Right.
And she'll talk vaguely about it, but she couldn't tell you who the players are.
Okay.
Do you educate her on stuff? And is that like, or is it just?
No, my mom. I can't hardly watch a game with her. Especially football, because as soon as the ball snaps, she's just like, get him.
Yeah, yeah, that's
okay.
Great.
Just throw the ball.
She doesn't know who she's rooting for, but she's like, I just want to root.
Red team.
It feels good to support is
oh,
what
no,
she loves.
Oh, no, she knows exactly what she's like,
okay.
Chiefs.
Okay.
But the problem is now when I'm at home by myself, I hear myself doing it, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. Like, I'm just like, get him. Damn it. I'm annoying myself.
Oh, dude, my house, and I'm sorry because you're a Chiefs fan, my house, we're all diehard Broncos fans.
Oh, that's fine. We respect Broncos fans.
Okay,
we just hate the Raider fans.
Okay, we can bond on that.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Was there one instance or no?
No, it's like the Broncos have always played a respectful game. They've been great. I mean, we hated Elway, but that's just because he was so great.
Yeah,
because
he came back and won. And the same thing with the Chiefs because Arrowhead Stadium is one of the most like loudest stadiums in the league. Fans are diehard. They're very knowledgeable, great players in the team's history. But we just bond against the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think it's the same way with like San Diego Charger fans. And, like we're just like, all right, just we're all against the Raiders.
Yeah,
fuck
they're
that.
Trash. They're just awful people. They're uneducated for the most part, and they make very little money. Like there's not a lot of decision makers wearing Raiders hats. And that includes Ice
that's
Cube.
So true.
That includes Ice Cube.
Yeah.
You can't be. No decision dude. Makers are in a Coors Light commercial. That's first off.
Wow. That's fucking. That's
so true. Notice. I feel like we should have a The More You Know sound effect after no decision makers are wearing Raiders hats. No, 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 no.
Hey, man, if that's your passive aggressive way of telling me the budget's too low on this podcast, I get it, man. I get it, all right? Fuck, we had to turn on the air halfway through because it was hot in here.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, now, are there negative stereotypes towards Chief fans, the way there are with Raider fans? Like, are you guys?
Yeah, I mean, because there are a lot of Chiefs fans that are rednecks. They're guys that have a Chiefs bus that they drive 8 times a year, but their kids don't go to college. You know what I'm saying? Like, their priorities aren't all there.
Sure.
And it's like, you get into the upper rows of mm-hmm. Arrowhead Stadium, it is
bananas
very Camaro-y.
Camaro-y.
What the fuck does that mean?
It's weird that word doesn't exist yet. When you say it, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I see like Steve Guttenberg with like a leather jacket and no shirt.
Steve Guttenberg is a little classy, but the outfit's right. maybe Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Wow, that far, huh?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, a lot of guys that are just like. A lot of people who didn't mind how the Trayvon Martin incident.
Oh, God. Well, that's a great way to fucking break it down. Holy shit.
A lot of guys that were like, woo!
Yeah, a lot of guys were like, yeah, there should be a season on them.
Oh, God.
Now, notice, these are not the views of one Chris.
No, they're not my views.
These are the reflections, his
it's
views.
It's just shit I've heard
views.
In Arrowhead Stadium.
Okay, exactly. Oh, my God. You'll like this story. A friend of mine got married to Steve DeBerg's brother.
Yeah.
And Steve DeBerg was at the wedding. I was at the wedding. And we're there, and I'm catching passes from Steve DeBerg, like in the back, and we're in our tuxedos and shit. And by the way, that's got to be someone's LSD trip where Steve DeBerg is throwing football passes to a midget wearing a tuxedo.
You know, someone walked by and just went, I got to go home.
I don't know how to deal with this.
Honey, I need to go to the hospital. Why? I was walking through the park. I saw Steve DeBerg throwing passes to a midget in a tuxedo. Honey, you can't say that. A dwarf in a tuxedo.
At first, are you on drugs?
At first, I thought it was a penguin. Turns out. Yeah.
Get Dave down here. Get that little shit down here. I think he dosed my tea.
But yeah, that was like, and so almost because of that, I had to like, because he was a good guy. He was out there throwing passes to all the kids and shit. So like, I had to be like, all right, I don't completely hate the Chiefs. Yeah, they're not all bad.
Although DeBerg probably played for the Broncos. At
he
some
did.
Point.
He was a backup for Elway for a sec.
Yeah, that dude literally played for like 14 teams right. or something like that. He just happened to get some success with us.
Yeah.
When did you move? We'll talk briefly about this. When did like you feel like, all right, I'm in LA and comedy is that's what you came here to do, obviously. Or were you going?
Well, I was already a stand-up. I was already making money.
So before Last Comic got you all that exposure, you were.
I was a feature act. Right. Mm-hmm. I was working the road. I didn't have another job. I moved out here on feature money.
Who are you featuring for?
Mainly, like I didn't have a guy that would take me out. I only opened for mainly black comics because I could kill in front of them, and it didn't matter. Like, they could always follow me because I was still the young, stupid white kid.
Right.
Gotcha. But so it's like, something completely different than what they are.
Yeah, but, like, the older white – like, I remember I opened for Nick DiPaolo. It was, like – he was, like, my – the first guy me and my buddies quoted was his Lounge Lizards act.
Oh, that's great.
And so when he came through Kansas City for the first time ever, I begged to get the spot. I got it. I went up to Nick. I was like, you're the greatest. I've been wanting to do this my whole life. He was like, great. I did my set. I walked off stage. He was at the end of the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you like open for me? And I was like, yeah. He goes, good, because it's never going to fucking happen again. And I'm like, what? He goes, I've been doing this 14 years. I don't need to follow that shit. I don't need to follow you. He's like, you're a headline. I don't need to follow you. And he's like, good. We'll have a blast this week.
But yeah.
He's like, this ain't ever going to happen again.
Well, you know what? Shit. Good for Nick for not firing you and saying go home.
Paulie fired me twice.
Paulie Shore fired you twice.
Paulie fired me twice. As a matter of fact, up until
about a year and a half ago,
he was afraid of me.
Really?
Because, like.
Did he think you had a grudge because he fired you twice?
He knew I had a grudge.
Okay.
And he came up to me one time. He's like, buddy, can we be friends? And I was like, why do you need to be my friend? I was like, I'll work your club. I'll do good. I won't cause a problem. I was like, I'm not going to cause beef with you. I was like, we don't need to be friends.
Yeah.
I was like, you got nothing for me. I got nothing for you.
Sure. It's just like, we just need to wave to each other every now and then.
Yeah. And now, I have no hatred towards him. So, like, if we're in a conversation, I'll talk to him. But other than that, it's just like.
Yeah. and people that don't do comedy don't realize that this does happen sometimes where because the headliner gets paired with whatever feature that they get paired with. And then the feature is crushing, and then the headliner's like, I can't follow that shit.
Yeah, you get fired.
Yeah, and which is a compliment and sucks at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, that means I'm funnier. But see, what they don't do is say, congratulations, you're funnier than the headliner. Here's your bag of money. Like, they don't do that shit. They say, hey, so-and-so can't follow you. Or they try to dress it up like, he doesn't think your act goes well with his. Yeah, oh, what? Because I get laughs and he doesn't.
Sure. We had beef. And so, yeah.
So then you get to. So
featured for Tommy Davidson a lot. Nice. Earthquake.
So at one point did you think, like, wow, I'm gonna be the white guy that opens for black dudes?
I never thought that. No, it was always. I knew what,
well,
I knew what it was.
So, yeah.
It was like. They were like, listen, you have no TV credits.
Yeah.
You can headline, but no one wants to see you. So I would headline like the Wednesday, Sunday, and then open for the other guys.
Cool.
Right.
And then what?
It's a great deal.
And then Last Comic just got me the
exposure.
And so they're like, now we can headline you.
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
And now they're like, now I don't know if we can headline.
Were you ever against auditioning for Last Comic, or were you just like,
no? I didn't want to do it. My managers talked me into it. They were like, we think you should try out for Last Comic. And I'm like, nah. Because. You know, my season was 4, so, like, oh, I know, because season 2 had happened.
Still really popular.
And then season 3 had got, no, season 3 got canceled.
Like middle of the season.
That was the one where Alonzo Bowden won, but no one ever knew.
Right.
So, we were the comeback. We didn't know what was going to happen.
Sure. So and coming off that last or that previous season getting canceled mid-season, you had no idea what was going on.
And it ended up being great and huge.
Yeah, because Josh Blue was the winner of your season, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, so you're on the same season as Josh Blue.
Yeah.
And
Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, wow. So you're on there with Mark
Schumer,
Lake.
Right?
No. Schumer was the season after me. But but it was killer.
Yeah,
Bill Dwyer. It was a lot of great guys.
Like, a bunch of season pros.
And it was, and that's what made that season great. Is like it was one of the highest rated seasons, other than one and two,
right?
Because it was all comics. And then of course season five came along, and of course you had Schumer and a couple. But the way they had weird ass challenges, and it got all they were like in a boxing ring or something.
Yeah, nothing about comedy.
Yeah, this
and then
to do
the
with
sixth
stand-up.
Year, no, yeah. You know, the sixth year was Felipe, or was that the seventh?
Seventh was Eliza, I think.
Seventh was Eliza. And when they went with Eliza, they went with, like, they said, we want people that have only been doing it, like, 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Which, no offense to those cats. None of those guys had the time. I went through an hour on Last Comic.
Yeah.
Entire hour.
Yeah, because one thing that when Last Comic happened, season one, is that it gave the illusion to people that didn't know about stand-up that these guys were just, like, walking down the street going, I think I'm going to try to do stand-up comedy. Like, it's not like American Idol where if you sing, you can sing whatever song. Like, that's it. Like, you have to be writing jokes and, like you said, just going through material, burning jokes every week that now millions of people have seen so you can't do again.
Absolutely.
And you got – so if you've been doing it 3 years, I had maybe – 20 minutes.
Yeah, at 3 years, of which you'd actually want to tell to people.
Right, exactly.
And then 5 of filler.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's crazy because I think I had at least 3 hours of killer material by month 6, and I burned it all on like parties and shit. And,
yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah, but you're right.
Eddie took a lot of it for his Delirious album. Right?
I didn't want to say that on the air, but you know what? You just fucking brought it up, so yeah, he did.
Absolutely.
No, but yeah, you. I mean, at that point, you're just like. Wow, so you fucking just burn, and you had no problem burning through it because you were just like, this is a place for me to show it.
That was the biggest thing that had happened to me at that point, and probably one of the bigger things that have happened to me since.
Sure.
And
Well, dude, national exposure on that level for a.
It was night and day. Like, those were the days, like, I was making $700, and then the next day after Last Comic, they're calling me with $6,000 and $7,000 offers.
Yeah.
And you're just laughing. You're like, what?
You're like, I can't spend that much money.
Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah, you can, Bradley.
So,
what are you sniffing over there?
Money.
That's how Brad starts his oral Hershiser when he gives it to the when he gives it to any poor soul.
All right.
You ready for this, baby? You want to join my fantasy football league?
You want a week at Stanford and Sons?
How unattractive is that to sniff at somebody? Like, I don't know where your face was when you were doing that.
Wait, what?
If that's how you were about to like start.
Going, doing my thing?
To sniff at her like that.
Oh, well, no.
I don't know where your nose is, where you're sniffing, but...
Trust me.
Even if you're standing in front of her.
If that's what I'm about to do, ain't no way I'm taking a huge inhale through my nose. That's not happening. Because I want to keep that going. I want to keep the fire going. You don't want that shit.
Oh,
keep the magic and romance.
You know what? Let's just watch a movie.
Let's listen to the... Let's listen to some music. I've got the Butthole Service on DVD. No! Stop saying that word.
Wait. We have Butthole Service music. Yeah! That's their hit song. I don't know what it's called. That's what it is.
This is KZOK 95.5 with more music nobody remembers. Coming up next, we've got
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Mudhoney.
And a little blast from the past, Crack Rear View, Hootie the Blowfish.
That song is called Pepper by the Butthole Surfers. So hopefully they listen to this podcast and go, you know what, we should sponsor that podcast. The About Last Night Show, sponsored by the Butthole Surfers.
This place will be top-notch when that Butthole Surfer money starts rolling in. That's got to be $9 a month.
I can sense some sarcasm in your voice, Porter, but guess what? You just talked yourself out of a free Butthole Surfer fucking coaster.
You know what? I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Fine.
That
would have
been a Butthole
now,
Surfer frisbee going down Sunset. Hey, homeless guy. There you go.
And he goes, fuck this, dude. I'm not wiping my ass with that shit.
Now, when the season of Last Comic was done, did you do the tour?
Yeah, well,
is that when you were on the bus?
No, our tour was put on by the agents. As a matter of fact, our tour is what got NBC to put on the tour because they found out how much money we made.
No shit.
Oh, and they were like, we're getting in on that.
Right.
Because I talked to DeStefano when they were on tour, and they were making like a fifth of what we were making.
Oh, wow. Serious?
Because they were
NBC stepped in and goes.
Yeah, because our agents put on our tour. They put it all together.
Wow.
And we were just crushing it.
Yeah,
and once NBC stepped in, and I'm sure the agents were like, whoa, they did it like that before. Like, we're going to, like, well, this is happening because it's our show.
Pete Angle came up to me in the next season when we went to do the roast. He goes, if I would have known how much money you guys were going to make, I would have signed it. And then the next year, it was last comic, like, and you signed it before you got picked. You're like, if I win or am in the house, I will do this
too. That seems like a big, but that seems like an obvious moneymaker from a show like that, right? Like,
yeah, they made the money. We made the money on our
because my
comics didn't make the money.
But I feel like, I mean, my boy, you know, Jeff died when he did that tour. It seemed like he was making, but maybe not even close to what
they were making. Good money, yeah. Especially compared to what they had been making,
right?
But I mean.
But NBC, there's more of a cut coming out.
The month of September after Last Comic Standing, I made more in that month than I made the year previous.
Holy shit.
So that was a good time for you. So that was a good time.
Yeah. Like, I just remember sitting in green room just laughing. Just laughing. Because you knew it was going to, I knew it was going to end.
Sure, sure.
A couple of the guys thought it was like, this is
the
start.
No, man. Yeah, we're doing
this
all.
I'm like, no, this is all going to go away. And I knew it.
And you were making that much money with doing what, like 20-minute sets?
20-minute sets, 30-minute sets, just killing.
Just crushing.
And the only thing that really bummed me out about it is that they were doing some new material, but for the most part, a lot of the guys on the tour were just doing a lot of the hits from the show.
Right.
I had written a brand new 20, and it was crushing.
That's awesome, dude.
Thinking this will get traction.
Yeah,
like, I'll be the guy
they
could have given a fuck.
Wow.
No shit.
No one, there was.
Well, you grew a lot in that whole time by doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good, but it was like, I thought, really thought if I came at him like, this is.
Wow. And took advantage of the opportunity.
Doing new stuff.
All
stuff you haven't heard. I'll do one last thing at the end to fucking bring it on home.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it was all said and done, it was right back to just.
Still,
having trouble filling clubs again, sure.
Yeah, but still, that's the kind of work ethic that you need as a comic. You can't just be going out there and going, this coming from the guy that did a lap dance for 10 years.
Which, by the way,
yeah,
when we worked in Seattle,
sure.
I saw you pull up one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, shit.
And
you know.
She loved every minute of it.
He knew my mom was a big fan. She's been. Good night, everybody.
That's all the time we got. Chris Porter, where are you going to be this weekend, man? Where are you going to be this weekend?
Seattle's got a beautiful woman.
Oh, so it does.
And then he pulled her up, and you know, too, when Brad's bringing these women up, like, there's a piece of him that's like, this could end positively in a hotel room later with me sniffing something.
And I know you got a girlfriend now, but when you were single, what's the ratio of those girls that you look up with?
The lap dance ratio. If they're walking on stage, what are the odds?
Probably, let's see, I would do
walking on your back.
Six to seven shows in a weekend. Probably one.
That's
incredible.
Yeah, that's like probably, 15%.
Yeah, that's pretty good batting
average. That's better than I'm shooting right now, that's for sure.
So, but you know what? And here's what it was. It was sometimes I would get lucky and pick the girl that had the curiosity.
Yeah.
And then now that I'm grinding on her, that sort of opened that door of like, oh, okay, so this is cool. Physical contact. Yeah. All right. But yeah, like, because sometimes women are in the audience going, yeah, I could fuck a dwarf. I think I could do that.
Yeah.
And then the show ends and they just leave. And they don't
so where your problem lies is you need to be grinding everyone who exits the building.
That,
and just as they walk by and they take a t-shirt.
Yeah, but I tried that. And it's
that's why you're banned from Iowa.
And Idaho. Because I thought maybe it was just the Iowans.
Yeah.
And no, it's
you,
everybody.
You fucking ambitious.
Everybody. Oh, my God. No, I remember when I was a feature act, I would always go, like, right after my set, I would go right and hang out in front of the bathrooms, because I knew that's
hello,
where,
creepiest statement of 2013. Because
I knew, well, you know, yeah, I mean.
No, you're smart.
Yeah, that's where everyone comes to.
Yeah.
That's for everyone has to pass.
That's where the party after the party happened.
Yeah. So I would just be there going, hey, did you think I was funny? You know.
Oh, well, at least you were referring to the show. We're just being like, good luck in there. Or just hang out there and just be like, you need a hand?
The problem was is that some people came out and they saw me hanging out from the bathrooms. And I got this multiple times where both guys and girls would just look at me and go, wait, so you do jokes and then you run out here and you're the bathroom attendant? That sucks, man.
And then they're like,
no, no. I'm good at this.
Yeah, then you just went.
I remember when I worked at the mall and it was hosting in Kansas City doing mall security. I would do
shows. You did mall security?
Yeah. It was the greatest job in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't care.
Why do we not lead with this?
I just feel like there's.
I skipped over to my job sheet.
Okay. Is there a portion of this that's being discussed in the act?
No. I haven't gotten to it yet.
All right. Well, tell the story.
Because as a mall security guard, you can't do anything.
Well, but that's the thing is a lot of the guys that are mall cops are wanting to be real cops, actually. Yeah. So they're very fucking
so you were realistic with your responsibilities.
All a shopping mall is trying to do is avoid a lawsuit every day.
Right.
They're just looking for ways to not get sued.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want mall security guys harassing anybody. You know, these guys would go after kids smoking underage and shit. And it's just like, get the fuck out of here. It was like the rich mall. So we drove BMW X5s for our security vehicle.
What?
Yeah. And I would just sit in a parking lot, write jokes. When I was stumped, I'd drive around the parking lot a little bit, make sure nothing was.
Because your presence in the uniform and the automobile that you're driving that says mall security is enough of a like, oh, shit.
Yeah, right? If they are stealing a car, at least they're going to leave for a second.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd drive around, and then I'd be like, oh, there's a tag. And then I'd go back, park, and meanwhile, just tunes blaring through an amazing sound system.
Oh, dude, that's amazing.
And they loved me. They just – I would – when I started really doing comedy, the guy was like, hey, man, if you get a gig, just call me. I'll take you off the schedule. And if your gig gets canceled, let me know. I'll put you right on the schedule. And he did.
Wow.
And,
Now the same way that Van Wilder is based on Bert Kreischer, is Paul Blart Mall Cop based on Chris Porter?
I never saw that, so I don't know.
You didn't miss anything.
We wrote.
Hey, man, I thought it was funny. But I also love Air Bud 6 and Land Before Time 12.
Wait, they made 6 Air Buds?
I always joke about the number, but I'm almost positive that it's at least 6.
Well, they are dogs.
And there's a lot they can do other than play soccer, football, and hockey. I think the fifth one
was lacrosse, right?
Yeah, and then there was like badminton and origami or some shit.
They were shopping one around where he did the skeleton.
The luge.
But it's
the face-forward luge.
Face-forward luge. Yeah. And they couldn't get the permits in Sweden.
All right. Wait, I'm looking up Air Bud. There's Air Bud.
I feel like we should make a giant bet here. Like just a bet
Air
that
Bud
just completely
2.
None of us can back
this
up.
This is what's up with Google.
I'll bet Air Bud 3.
Which was what?
Soccer.
Last.
Then there's Air Bud 7th inning fetch. You see what they did there?
Can I be honest? I feel terrible I didn't come up with that idea. Genuinely, I'm not going to sleep
tonight. And you know that's how it started. Like the guy, some producer was driving, was like, 7th inning fetch. I got it. We got to write it.
Yeah. Wait, that came up, and then the baseball idea.
Holy shit. I think there is 6 Air Buds. Okay, there's Air Bud where he plays basketball.
What's that one called?
Just Air Bud.
Can we make up a title for it?
Okay. All right, so a golden retriever playing basketball. Let's see, you have a slam dunk. I'm trying to think. Air Bud, pause. Kibbles and bounce passes. Bounce passes and
he did a porn called Kibbles and Butts.
That was after the Air Bud money dried up.
Yeah. It was that Dana Plato round.
Maybe just doggy style. Is there one just called doggy style?
Oh, that'd be great.
Like there's Air Bud.
Well, that's a Snoop Dogg thing.
Yeah. There's Air Bud. Then the sequel is called Air Bud 2 Golden Receiver. He plays football.
Hey, I don't know why you got a big smirk on your face. That's a great title.
That's a great title.
Especially if he played for Notre Dame.
Did he? Then Air Bud 3, where they play soccer, but no clever pun for the soccer. Like, come on, man.
Like bend it like Benji or something? That's fucking great.
And then you have
myself on the
then
back
you have Air Bud 7th inning fetch.
then
still the best one so far.
We're running out of major sports.
Then you have then they're stretching.
Yeah. Then where's the bowling one? Like?
Then Air Bud plays volleyball. And Jesus. It's called Air Bud Spikes Back. That's not even a dog pun. You're not even trying anymore.
Spikes Back.
But well, what is his name? Spike. Hilarious.
Yeah, that is actually.
Oh, because it could be like if his nemesis was Spike.
Whoa.
Spikes Back.
Spikes Back.
And he's playing volleyball.
So they did the sequel before they even did the first one.
Maybe it's a sequel to Side Out.
God, wouldn't it be great doing a sequel to a movie that has nothing to do with it?
And then the last one. This is literally Air Bud 6.
Okay. First of all, let's just acknowledge the fact that I blindly said there's 6 Air Bud films. And guess what? There are.
All right. Which one of our female listeners now wants to blow Adam Ray after hearing that he knows all 6 Air Bud movies?
Whoever it is probably has 9 cats.
And 1 tooth. We'll be right back.
And then the last Air Bud movie is called Air Buddies. And it's just
he had kids and he's retiring.
Yeah,
is that? I'm just guessing.
That's literally what it is. It's the next generation.
He took up swimming, became gay,
started a synchronized swimming
team.
Oh
wait, here,
all of kids.
Here's the synopsis of Air Buddies.
Are we really gonna read this?
Yes. When dad,
I'm see if I'm gonna Netflix it.
When dad Buddy and mom Molly are dog napped, their 5 adorable pups, the Air Buddies, must save the day.
Yeah, for sure I'm watching that stoned. For sure I'm watching that stoned. Hey, Adam, you going to watch that high? Yeah, man, obviously.
So watch it sober, then watch it high and do the compare and contrast.
Write a book report?
Like, I thought, like, thematically it made more sense sober, but I laughed more when I was stoned.
You know who's in this? You know who's in Air Buddies? Richard Karn, Al from Home Improvement.
Oh, and Family Feud.
Yeah,
and
come on, dude. Yeah, what credit's bigger, by the way?
He's one of the few Family Feud guys that didn't off himself.
That's a credit in itself.
Yeah.
Yo, is that on his
Wikipedia? I think he was the first one that didn't off himself.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he was.
And then it was Louis.
What's a bigger credit? Family Feud or Home Improvement?
Home Improvement.
Two of the biggest shows of all time.
Yeah.
But you're not the secondhand guy.
And Home Improvement.
Guy. Yeah, he was the wingman in Home Improvement.
I watched Home Improvement religiously.
Me too, dude.
Right.
But then you watch it now and you're like, well, I can't.
Do you remember when JTT was like, I got lung cancer?
Oh, I remember that episode. That was their very special episode.
Remember?
He had lung cancer.
Well,
some sort of cancer.
He had some test that said he was going to get cancer, and then like they waited the entire episode, and then they said the test came back negative.
Yeah, but dude, the suspense was just fucking. You know, he used to party at a frat across the street from the Jewish frat I was in at USC, and I saw him there at a party one time, and I'm hammered. And this is my sophomore year of college. I've seen 0 celebrities since I've been in L.A.
Right.
Not true. I ran to Larry King at a movie theater, and I was stoned, and I asked him a bunch of questions. And I was like, so what movie are you seeing? And he was like, do you mind? And I was like, not at all, man. I just got interviewed by Larry King. And I walked away. And so I see high.
Did he laugh?
No, he was with a kid. And he just was kind of like stared at me like, you high son of a bitch. So I'm at the bathroom at this frat party. And I see JT because he used to party all the time. I would hear that urban legend. And all of a sudden, I'm next to him. And I look over at him and I go, what's up, man? And he goes, what's up? In a what's up, but coded in a, stop talking to me while our dicks are out, you know?
Yeah. And I should probably do the same thing.
Definitely. I would not. But in my head, I'm like, hey, for celebrity, I don't know how to react. Pause, there's a silence, and then my fucking 22-year-old self, that's not the right age, whatever it was, 19, 20, yeah. I go, there's just some silence, and I just go,
no, you did.
Swear to God, I did.
You did the grunt?
Dude, yo, I had so many. When I would get drunk in college, man, I literally thought I was invincible. So in that moment, I was like, this is funny. He'll laugh. I always played things out because I was such a, you know, I still am not a happy drunk, but like, I was just like, he'll think this is funny. We'll become buddies. This will be a great story when I go back for Christmas break.
What you guys made Al Iorpini grunted. Thought it was hilarious.
No, dude, you know what happened?
Now he's my best man.
Yeah, it's complete silence. I heard some sort of like muddle, like, you fucking whatever. Like, yeah. I should have been like, love the cancer episode. Like, I should have said, you know.
Yeah.
Glad it came out negative.
Liked it better when I didn't know where you were. That's a guy that literally just...
When you tried to go into films and you were in Man of the House with Chevy Chase, fucking unbelievable range, man.
Thank you.
Unbelievable
thank you.
Range.
If something negative was about to come out of your mouth after saying that movie title, I was about to...
Hell no. Man, the kid who played his best friend, Man of the House, the nerd kid, he went to my elementary school. He was the shit.
He got so much pussy in elementary school.
Dude, so much kid
he
pussy.
Had all the best pogs. I mean, that guy was just owning shit.
Yeah, Zach.
I hope he held on to them because you know those things are just making money right now.
Like baseball cards.
Zach Brown is the kid's name.
Of the Zach Brown band?
No. Oh,
no, it's not. No, it's of
you
the.
You sure?
No, it's of the Zach Brown probably doing heroin under an overpass. Because
he just came out with a song that just goes, and Brad Williams loves my pog still. It's a really
awful
song.
It's
maybe the worst song ever.
Like,
and
no
Brad
meaning.
Williams loves my and he stutters through it. My pog still. And it's like, dude, do you know your own lyrics?
Yeah. And then the second verse is about how the Jews are taking over. It's really weird.
Well, at least it's factual. we have to wrap this up.
We have to wrap it up on a Jews are taking over the world note. And
oh yeah, that's original.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Oh my God, Chris Porter, where can people find you?
I am
the address
Chris
of
Porter.
Your house. Okay,
yeah. Is my Twitter handle.
All right,
I am at I am Chris Porter.
Yes,
for people who are on Twitter.
And ChrisPorterIsFunny.com.
There you go. And,
your tour dates are up there.
Tour dates are up there, and my band's playing Saturday.
Fuck yeah.
Where?
This podcast will not be out by then, but all right.
And then I'll play the next Saturday, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Where at?
Tomorrow I'll play, or Saturday, playing Finn McCool's.
Nice.
Yeah. You guys play there a lot. You love that spot.
They love us. It's not my favorite spot.
Okay. Where would you love to play, ideally?
Next Saturday.
Carnegie Hall?
We play The Basement, which is a pretty happening joint.
Heard of that spot.
There you go.
It's like... After 10:30, there's a line out the door.
Fucking awesome.
Okay. We'll get there before 10:30, see Chris Porter and his band. But more importantly, when Chris Porter comes
comedy,
to your town.
Comedy, yeah. Deja Vu, Columbia, 22 through 24 of August.
Oh,
this will be out
that is a fun gig.
Yeah. If you're into 19-year-olds, that's your venue.
That's a good one.
It's the only place I've walked into a room and a girl followed me in, and she was like, yeah, this will work. And I was tripping my balls off on mushrooms, and she wasn't that great. And I was tripping my balls off.
Did you have sex on mushrooms?
No, I was walking. I didn't even know she was behind me. I walked in thinking it was trying to get my phone. Mm-hmm. She had said something to me like 30 feet ago, and I kept walking, and she just followed me.
Wow.
And she was like, this will work. And when you're on mushrooms, unless you're with someone you really like, sex is the last thing you're thinking
about. Oh, yeah.
About.
Dude, I have jokes about it, and it's for sure the truth. Like, yeah.
I'm here to get my phone. That's all I said. She was like, this will work. Let's do this. I was like, oh, I'm just here to get my phone. Yeah. I'll see you later. And she had the most confused look on her face. Like,
hey, wait, did I just get turned down? What happened? go see Chris Porter on the road. Very funny comedian.
In the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory in Improv.
Yes,
you know,
all those things.
Yeah,
all that shit.
Find me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, AdamRayTV.com for videos and tour dates. And where am I going to – next week, this will be out Monday. So I'll be in New York this 16th through the 21st, doing a bunch of shows at Gotham with our friend Eliza.
There you go.
Liberty Live on Wednesday the 20th, and then Arlington Draft House, August 23rd and 24th. You ever been there?
No.
Where's D.C.?
Oh, in D.C.?
Yeah.
Oh, badass, man.
They don't. Apparently it's D.C. fun. Won't book me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll talk to them.
There you go. Drop that name. Oh, and
I don't know how much weight it'll have. Cause
side note, if you haven't seen The Heat yet, you're in the minority because Adam Ray, I checked the numbers today.
Oh.
$187 million movie, my friend.
Now, let's hold up Air Bud 6 just to see how that really holds up.
Well, Air Bud 6 made $250. Don't compare.
Yeah, you're right.
You're
in the moment.
Granted, a lot of the Air Bud 6 money was Asian markets.
Yeah,
it was just like a food thing. It was like a food prep.
There you go.
Brad was
like
chomping at the bit.
I was like, come on, Chris, get it.
I'm chewing on it.
Small known IMDb movie fact, the star of The Heat, also the star of Air Bud 4, Sandra Bernhard. Yeah, you goddamn right I brought it back. It's my house. It's home court advantage.
That's
you don't think
awesome.
I had one more
yes.
Sandra Bernhard fucking callback?
I didn't even see it coming. Yeah, I was like, where's he going with it? And you're like, right across your face, fool.
Boom. So, yeah, go see The Heat, and then follow me on Twitter, at FunnyBrad, BradWilliamsComedy.com. August 15th through the 17th, I'll be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, Michigan. August 21st to the 24th, I'll be at the Funny Bone in Des Moines, Iowa. And August 29th through September 1st, I'll be at the Improv in San Jose, California. For Chris Porter, Adam Ray.
Wow, hey, great episode.
Thank you.
You're amazing, man.
I appreciate
it. That was so much fun. Like, yeah,
I'll come back anytime.
Please do.
And thanks for listening to About Last Night. Please try to remember our names in the morning.
Great.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.